This is 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Ireland has been torn by centuries of conflict, particularly the northern part of the nation. The Ulster Project's mission is to help heal those wounds by working with young people, the future leaders. Joining me this afternoon are Jennifer King, Ulster Project Cincinnati Board President, also Emily Hollis and Lexi Hodge. Their families have hosted teens from Ireland, and they've just returned from a trip to Northern Ireland. Later in the show, Ann Thompson is going to take a look at efforts to find the most efficient way to provide electrical power on airliners. Also, a discussion about young athletes and asthma, what parents and coaches should watch for, and how to deal with it. You can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk@wvxu.org, or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. First, our discussion about the Ulster Project. Jennifer, I think to understand the project, you have to understand what's going on in Ireland. It's hard to believe that they've been going through, what, 8 centuries of conflict?
Something like that. It goes all the way back, I think, to the 1600s with what's called the Plantation of Ulster.
And is this something, I think the perception is that this is a Catholic versus a Protestant conflict, or is there a lot more to it than just that?
It does have to do with Catholic versus Protestant, and there's also a lot of politics involved, too. The two are very much mixed together.
And that's where the Ulster Project comes in. How did that come about? What are its origins?
The Ulster Project was started in the 70s by Kerry Waterstone in Northern Ireland, who wanted to find a way to bring peace to Northern Ireland through the youth in the Catholics and the Protestants. And there are actually multiple Ulster Project centers around the United States. Cincinnati is just one of them. The one in Cincinnati began in 1989, and we just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
So, wow, 1989, it's been going on that long. And I guess part of the idea is that you can get teens from Northern Ireland to come in and experience the way that Americans have learned to live together in our melting pot society. Is that part of the whole object of this?
It is. It's actually meant so that the Catholics and Protestants can come here and bond together and learn from one another on neutral ground.
Now, Lexi, Emily, you're just back from Northern Ireland. Talk to me about what that experience was like for you.
That experience had a bigger impact on my part, and I think Lexi would agree that, like, you know it's still going on and you know that they need that the help that we can give them to learn to be friends and work together. But when we went there, it brought it to a whole new level because we'd be somewhere learning about maybe the Protestant end, and a couple Catholics might have to walk out of the room because it's still big in their family, or they might have a remark back to it. And then you could go to something on the Catholic end, and the Protestants are the same way. And even with the teens, it still had a big part with them today.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember when they were here with us last year during the month of July, and a lot of the kids made it sound like it wasn't really that big of a deal. And I think a lot of that had to do because they were here and it didn't seem like that big of a deal anymore. But I remember us going to the 12th of July parade, which is a really big thing there. It's when the Protestants all march, the Orange Order marches, and it's a really big controversial thing over there. And I just remember all the kids like saying, like, I don't ever want to do this again. And it just brought back my memory, like, oh, you guys used to tell me that this was no big deal. And then now we're sitting on the side of the streets with all these people. And it just made it real. Because I know when they were here, it just didn't seem like that was a real big problem. And then you go over there and you hear about all the bad things that happen still. And you hear about all the brokenness that they have still. And when they all along were like, oh, it's really not that big of a deal, when it really still is.
And so this tension is still very obvious.
Oh, yeah. And I know we went to this thing called SEF. It was the Southeast Fermata Foundation. And they had a young girl in there, and she was talking about the tensions on the bus and how it's very much divided with the Catholics in the back and the Protestants in the front, and how the tensions are still pretty high sometimes. And you can just tell that a lot of people are still attached to what has happened in the past. And
another big tension they have is with the 12th of July happening while we're there, there's obviously British flags being put up throughout the different towns, and some of the teens that were Catholic did not agree with that. They call themselves Irish. They are not English. They are not British. And they there would be a lot of controversy over should the British flag be up, should the Irish flag be up, why are the British flags being put through an Irish town? And that was a real big tension you heard from everyone over there. And you could just drive through the streets and see where's a Catholic town and where's a Protestant town.
Going back to the history of how the Ulster Project got started, they chose the month of July. When the kids come over, they stay for an entire month. It's always July, and July was chosen on purpose so that it would coincide with what they call parade season. So the 12th of July celebrates the Battle of the Boyne in 1690, when the Protestant king, William of Orange, defeated the Catholic king, James II. And to this day, they celebrate that on July 12th. However, it's a season, so the parades are going on throughout the month of July. So that's why they come here in July, is to kind of divert them from that. And even though I will say Northern Ireland is much more peaceful than it used to be ever since the ceasefire in the late 90s, there is still, every summer around the 12th of July, there's still rioting. You still can see in the news over there police officers being injured or even killed. So there is still violence going on over there, even though it has diminished quite a bit.
And the geography is important to understand, because when we talk about Northern Ireland, that's Ulster, correct?
Correct.
And that's just, what, a six-county area?
That's right. That's right. And what many Americans don't realize is that Northern Ireland is politically separate from the rest, the Republic of Ireland. So when you use the word Ireland, that generally refers to the entire island, the actual land. But Ireland is made up of two separate countries, essentially. You have the Republic of Ireland and you have Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. So if you live in Northern Ireland, you're actually a UK citizen.
Emily, when you were there, did you get an impression? You were talking about tensions and some things. What is life like for teenagers in Northern Ireland?
I think a lot of it depends on the towns they live in. I know with some of our teens, it's a typical life that we would live here. You can be friends with whoever. But I know with some other teens, you just get used to staying in your towns of your religion, staying friends with your friends of your religion, and almost having to be careful, like Lexi said, on the buses or what you say around certain towns or places you go. So I think it's just part of life for the teens. They know their boundaries, but they know to follow those boundaries. And a lot of pressure is on the teens, I felt like, when I was there, from the parents and the families, because the adults are more into the history and what's happened. And so the teens are just doing things pressured by their parents because that's what they've grown up to know.
Here. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the way that the kids were, even like when we got to watch the Orange Parade, you see little two-year-olds marching with like the orange collar around their neck. And so I think that a lot of the pressure on the kids in Northern Ireland comes from the history that they get fed by their parents. And I know the girl that stayed with me, her name was Allison, and she always told me that, like, she never really felt that pressure, and it was never really that big of a deal to her. And I know that it wasn't that way for a lot of the for some of the other kids that came over here. And so I think that it just depends on, like, the family and how a lot of it's viewed, because that is where most of it comes from. And a lot of the kids that were here, they are all for, like, the peace, and they were all just like, let's get over it. Like, I just wish that I could walk down the street and not have to care about, you know, who I'm talking to, or, you know, we don't have to hear this violence every day. So I think a lot of the kids have a lot of the memories in their head about what happened in the past, but I think a lot of them, or I could say all of them, are very aware that they want peace.
Mm-hmm. The kids are educated separately. They have separate schools for Catholic and Protestant. They have separate sports generally. They live in different neighborhoods. It's very segregated community. However, the particular town where our kids come each year is a town called Inniskillen in County Fermanagh. And Inniskillen does have one school that's integrated, as they call it, with both Catholics and Protestants in the same school.
Their segregation, is it isolated as well? Are they isolated from
Isolated in what way?
Well, not much contact with other parts of Ireland, not much contact with outside influences.
I wouldn't say that. But if you're a Catholic girl, you generally are going to go to a Catholic girls' school. If you're a Protestant boy, you'll go to a Protestant boys' school. So it's just separated that way.
We're talking about the Ulster Project, and if you'd like to join the discussion, the phone number is 513-419-7100. You can also send your comments to talk@wvxu.org if you'd like to email, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. 419-7100, again, is the phone number. So what other cities have Ulster Projects in them? I mean, Cincinnati, obviously, but it's an international project in scope, right?
It is, just between the United States and Northern Ireland, though. Madison, Indiana also has a chapter, and we are somewhat linked with them, especially in regards to the fact that the kids that go to Madison, Indiana are also from Enniskillen. So we get 12, they get 12, and all 24 fly over on the same plane together. I don't even know all of the locations. I know there's one in Salt Lake City, Nashville, Kansas has one. They're just scattered all over the country.
And is Cincinnati a good place for this project because we have a fairly large number of Irish people, Irish heritage in this city?
I believe so. The Cincinnati chapter is actually one of the older ones in the country.
Okay. So 1989 was its start, 25 years.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Lexi and Emily, on your trip, did it make you appreciate things here at home more?
It did, actually, because you realize that, like, I go to a public school and I get to go and I don't have to worry about my friends and I don't have to, like, worry if anyone's going to be upset at me because I have a Catholic friend, I have a Protestant friend. So it was really cool to see how, like, a lot of the things we take for granted here, like flying the American flag every day. It was just really cool to see that. You know, that's such a privilege to be able to fly that and to have peace over that. And that's something that I know that we take for granted every day because it's just what we do. And so I think that was really cool to see that.
Our relationships between religions even, I mean, I know from my brother going to a Catholic school, at our Catholic guys' schools or girls' schools, not all of them are Catholic, and that's okay. And if that were to happen over there, that would be a very... Like, that would cause problems and issues. Where here, that's okay, and you can take care of it and not have to worry about other people being upset with you.
My guests are Jennifer King with the Ulster Project Cincinnati, also Emily Hollis and Lexi Hodge. We'll continue our conversation after the break. We'd like to hear your comments and questions at 513-419-7100. You can also email us at talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.